Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we're going to continue in this broadcast looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we'll pick up here. We're going to start looking at verse number 4 today. And it says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." So we see here that the Apostle Paul is talking here in verse number 4 about some things that these individuals had a knowledge of. Now, in order to have a knowledge of something, what we're going to see that they would have had to have done is followed the instructions that the Apostle Paul actually gives to the body of Christ. I want to go over here to the book of 2 Timothy and go to chapter number 2 of 2 Timothy. We're going to see that the Apostle Paul here is going to give some instructions related to how the members of the body of Christ are supposed to understand the knowledge that we are to have. And here in verse number 15, where it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Apostle Paul talks about how that whole idea of studying really involves a work that somebody has to do, because it says, "a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." So there's a lot of effort that has to actually be put into that study to be able to gain the knowledge that God intends for us to have. And we see that how it starts talking about that study of the Word of God really revolves around the principle that he gives here when it says, rightly dividing the word of truth, that having an understanding of that there's some information that truly does apply to myself or to anyone else who's living in this dispensation. There's information that does not truly apply directly to us, and that part of the study that we're to do is to really get that understanding to say, what applies information do I truly need to know, so that way I can apply that information specifically to my life. And that's what God intends for all of the members of the body of Christ. In fact, you see that reflected even in the prayer life of the Apostle Paul. When he starts praying for the members of the body of Christ, he starts talking about how he is praying that they're going to increase in knowledge. I want to go over here to the book of Colossians, because we're going to see an example here in Colossians chapter number 1 of the Apostle Paul actually speaking about that prayer that he had for this local assembly. And here in Colossians chapter number 1, we're going to start here verse number 9, looking at this prayer that the Apostle Paul has. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." When you see the Apostle Paul, he's talking here about this prayer that he had for them. The very first part of it is the issue of to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The Apostle Paul prays that they would come to the knowledge that God intends for anybody to have in this dispensation. And that's really the thing when you look at what the will of God is. And I'm going to read here a verse that actually says what the will of God actually is. And this is over in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to read here verse 4. And it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So the will of God first is that all men would be saved. So God wants all of mankind to put their trust in the gospel message for today. That gospel message being that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone to give the salvation message for individuals today. That's the first part of God's will. The second part of it is, once man has accepted that gospel, has that salvation, God wants man to be edified, built up in the doctrine that's been given to us. And that's why it says, and to come unto the knowledge. To come unto that understanding. What the Apostle Paul says, knowing these things. That's what is actually intended for the members of the body of Christ today. That can only come through that study of God's Word. I want to go over here to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to chapter number 2. And we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, the Apostle Paul start to have this conversation about some things related to the wisdom of God and the understanding that individuals need to come to. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, let's start here, verse number 6, says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now we're going to continue on through this passage in a second, but I want to focus on some things that the Apostle Paul is saying here as he's speaking about this issue of the wisdom that's being taught, relating it to the information that had been given to him by direct revelation through by the Lord Jesus Christ, calling it the, you know, identifying it as the wisdom of God, which was in a mystery because it was kept secret, you know, from the foundation of the world. So before Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 even occurred, the information that was given to the Apostle Paul was already laid out, and God kept it hidden, kept it secret, with the understanding that it would be separate from everything else that was being done. So that way, man didn't understand what was going on. Satan and the fallen angels didn't have an understanding. But there's a wisdom of God that could actually be preached. And you see how that wisdom actually is so separate from everything that had been understood when it talks about the princes of this world. Because if they had known what would have actually occurred on the cross at Calvary in the bringing in of the dispensation of the grace of God, they would have tried to prevent the cross from actually happening. But the Apostle Paul talks about that we have an understanding of this wisdom, and he's going to continue on as we are looking at this passage, talking about how this wisdom actually works in the life of an individual. Let's pick up here in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And we see here the Apostle Paul in this passage talking about how this wisdom actually works in an individual. He's relating to how there's in the makeup of a man, and we'll get to that when we get to chapter number 5 of 1 Thessalonians, where man is made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. And he's talking about how the things that the spirit of man cannot receive, the things of the Word of God. The only way the spirit of man can receive is by the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why an understanding of the Word of God can only occur after a person has put their trust in the gospel. That's why the will of God starts with that all men would be saved. And then it starts talking about the issue of coming unto the knowledge of the truth, because a person can only come unto that knowledge after they've received salvation, when the Spirit can actually communicate with the spirit that's inside of a man, teaching the things of what the Word of God says, bringing that person to the knowledge that they're supposed to have. Now, the Apostle Paul does say here and talks about how we have the mind of Christ. You know, we have the mind of Christ because we have a completed Word of God. We have a word that we can understand, that we can study, that we can gain the knowledge of, that God's intending for us to have. So we have the mind of Christ as a possession because we can read the Word of God and come to an understanding of it as we study using the principle of right division and the Spirit's teaching, the Spirit that's inside of us, so that way we can have that understanding. Now, some of that understanding also comes as a part of the responsibility that we have as the members of the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul talked about how he saw his responsibility over in the book of Ephesians was to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So he had an understanding that he had to go out and teach some things related to the Word of God, so that way individuals could have that understanding. You see in the epistles, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, the responsibility that the members of the body of Christ has related to this. We see over, let's go over to 1 Timothy. We'll go to chapter number 3 first. We're going to start looking at the qualifications of an individual who would be holding the position of a bishop in the local assembly. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, we're going to start here verse number 1. It says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." So we're already seeing here as it's talking about this position of being a bishop, that it's a desire the person has. They're desiring a good work. It's not a gift that's being given supernaturally to this individual. But then you start seeing these qualifications in verse 2, where it starts talking about a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So one of the qualifications that a bishop has to have is that they are apt or able to teach. They have an ability to actually teach some things related to the Word of God, so that way individuals could have that understanding come from this person teaching certain things. You see, let's go over to 2 Timothy now. And we see is the Apostle Paul writing his final epistle here is going to start actually making some references to these things as well. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's read the first two verses of the chapter. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." The responsibility that is there, this is why one of the things when I talk about what the responsibility of the local assembly actually is, they'll talk about how the local assembly is responsible to evangelize, to be, you know, having the gospel go out. The responsibility of the local assembly is to edify, to build up the members of the body of Christ once they have received that salvation. After that occurs, there's some exhortation or some encouragement that has to go on. And there's finally the responsibility of the eldership doing what the Apostle Paul wrote here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, of committing these things to individuals, so that way they're going to be able to go out and teach others. And then what's going to happen is those individuals will then be committing some things to other individuals, so that way they can go out and the message of the dispensation of the grace of God can continue to go out and is not lost at any point in time. That's the responsibility that we have. You know, if we're not teaching what we know and giving it to other individuals so that way they can go out and be able to teach, at some point, the body of Christ is going to die out. The body of Christ is going to lose the effectiveness that it's supposed to have. And that's the warnings that the Apostle Paul, as he continues on writing here to Timothy, and he can see all the things that are going on. He sees how all those there in Asia have turned away from him. In chapter 4, he starts naming individuals who had a love of this present world and loved the world so much that rather than stand for the truth of the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul, they turned away from those things and left that, and which means they were no longer teaching those things. And it can happen to anybody, because one of the people that he specifically names that occurs is Titus. The individual that, you know, in most of your Bibles, if you just turn the very next page, right after that's written in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, there's an epistle written to the exact same person. The Apostle Paul is saying, abandon him. Abandon the message that's been given to us at this time. It can happen to anybody. Our responsibility is to be able to teach these things, ground individuals in the truth of God's word rightly divided, giving them the information so that way they can be able to go out and teach these things. Because you see in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, where in the very beginning of that chapter, the Apostle Paul lays out some things talking about what's going to happen at the last days of this dispensation, describing the condition that the local assembly is going to be in. Now, if that's the condition that the local assembly is going to be in, the result of that can only come from the fact that God's word rightly divided is no longer being taught in the manner that would prevent these things from occurring. And that's why the Apostle Paul, after he lays out this information and talks about how, you know, this is what's going to happen. He gives at the very beginning of chapter number 4 the responsibility and the way to prevent all of those things from happening. And let's pick up here in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, where we can see what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Verse number 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now you see the very first thing that the Apostle Paul, as he's talking about and charging Timothy here, is he charges him to preach the word. Because preaching of the word, teaching this information, is what's going to give the person that ability to have that knowledge, to have the understanding that God intends for them to have. And as that knowledge is coming in, what we're going to see happen with them, I want to go over to the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter number 12. Because we're going to see that the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans is going to lay out what happens with an individual as that information is starting to come in to them. And here in Romans 12, we're going to read the first couple verses here. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now again, you see the Apostle Paul talking about that will of God and talking about how it's the responsibility of the individual as they're functioning, when it calls it your reasonable service, that responsibility is to show that will of God. And it comes about when the fact that a person's not conformed to this world, and a person's conformed to this world by the man's wisdom that he talked about over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. But instead of being conformed to those things, an individual is transformed by the renewing of their mind. And that renewing of the mind comes as the doctrine is being taken in. A person has the understanding of what God intends for them as a member of the body of Christ. And as they get that understanding, they get to be closer and closer to what God intends for them to be. In fact, you see the things of what, you know, how this actually works out. I want to just read an example here. We're not going to talk a lot about what the Apostle Paul says here, because he lays out practical information in some of his epistles. And I just want to read one of these sections to where you could actually see that as a person takes in this doctrine, as they have that renewing of the mind, and they have that knowledge that comes in, the impact that it has on their life, just like what he had prayed for that church at Colossae, and we read that in Colossians chapter number 1, you see how it has this impact here. And we're going to start here in Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'm going to start in verse number 22, and it says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, in just these few verses, we can see how there's some practical things that the Apostle Paul lays out, that as the doctrine is being applied, as that person comes into that knowledge, this is what's supposed to be the end result of these things. These are the things that the Apostle Paul, when he looks at this church in Thessalonica, he sees that this is what's going on with them. That's why he holds them up as the example that he does throughout this epistle. Now, we'll continue looking at this verse in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have links to some audio messages from either our Sunday or Wednesday messages. We have information about how you can join either of those. You know, on Sundays, we do broadcast live over Facebook, and you can find information on our website there. Our Wednesday night Bible study is actually, you can join in by phone conference, and we would love to have you do so. That information is also on our website as well. Always, if you have any questions or comments about either anything you've heard in these episodes or anything that you see on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.